The message title is "It Shall Be Done." The reason he gave me the message is we're in a series called Don't Bow Down. And the thrust of it is that in this world, we're facing a number of different things where you're being, the world is trying to force you to bow down to a new culture, a new climate. And too many believers are being sucked into that. So I just asked God, I said, all right, God, we talked about don't bow down, but what is it? How do we get people to know? What is it that they need to understand? And he said, they need to understand that whatever I said shall be done. Period. Shall be done. So we're going to start out with the, what I call a regular reading that he wants us to do in 1 Peter 2. I'm only going to share it. Okay. I'm going to share it in both translations because he said I was only going to share it in one. He said, I told you to share it in two. So I'm going to go with what he said. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 16 in the Passion Translation. In order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution, whether it be the highest ruler or the governors he puts in place to punish lawbreakers and to praise those who do what's right. For it is God's will for you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. As God's loving servants, you should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. Honor your rulers. The Message Bible says, make the master proud of you. How many of you want God to be proud of you? Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Now, we did a two-part teaching on Don't Bow Down, and we highlighted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and everything that they went through because the king was trying to force them to bow down. And he threatened them and, you know, they just weren't going to give into it. Now, mind you, they didn't have 66 books, you know, to study. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. You know, they didn't even have, Jesus hadn't even died for their sins. All they had was knowledge of what God has said. That's all they had. And that was enough for them to say, we're not eating your food. We're not bowing down to your idols, period. And even when their lives were threatened, because the king said, I'll give you one more shot. I'll play my music, you'll bow, or you get thrown in the furnace. They said, we don't even have to think about this. Our God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we are not bowing down to your gods. Case closed. And we have to develop that, to develop that same type of attitude, and here's how we do it. Look at Matthew 21. Usually we read this in Mark 11, but we're going to read it in Matthew 21, verses 20 to 22, and it's in the Passion Translation. And this is another, this Matthew's account about the fig tree. And then, you know, they passed by the fig tree. It didn't have figs on it. Jesus cursed it. They came back and saw it was withered and died, and the disciples, verse 20 says, astonished, his disciples asked, How did you make this fig tree instantly wither and die? Jesus replied, listen to the truth. If you have no doubt of God's power, Audrey had no doubt of God's power, and speak out of faith's fullness, you can be the ones who speak to a tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you could say to this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, and it will be done. Everything you pray for with the fullness of faith, you will receive. Everything that you pray for with the fullness of faith, you will receive, because faith brings the reality of the kingdom of God into existence. That's what faith does. Faith unlocks the greatest, tremendous authority in you, for you, out of you. And faith simply says, if God said it, it shall be done. And you have to start looking at things that simplistic and not making it complicated. Just simple. God said, I'm healed. Yeah, but you can only raise your arm this high. I don't care. God said I'm healed. So my arm may only go this high, but by faith, I see them both like this. And I'm not backing down from that because God said it. And we need to develop that same it shall be done mindset. We have to stop allowing folks to put tags on our children or grandchildren. I'm not saying that, you know, chemical imbalances and things don't exist. But I know when a church had a school, Love Christian Academy, there was one young man who he knew the diagnosis. He knew he was supposed to take medicines. And when he wanted to act up, he pretended that he didn't take them. And the other teachers were falling for it. But I look at things, either it's Bible or it's not. And so he was really acting up one day, so they sent for me. And I wouldn't get him. And my thing is, that you come to my office. That's what happens. We're getting you ready for this world. When you're out there in business, you know, your boss is going to bring you into his office to talk to you. So everybody had to come to my office. I sit down, and I said, what's the problem? Well, I can't control myself. Why not? Well, I forgot to take my medicine. I said, do you believe the Bible? Of course. Well, the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Are you telling me that you can't? No. I said, then I don't ever want to hear about you acting up, whether you took your medicine or not, period. Because if you do, then I'm going to take my belt and blister your little backside. Because corporal punishment was allowed then, but I just talked about it. And his eyes got this big. And they never had a behavioral issue with him again. Never. Because he knew the jig's up. Okay. So I don't care what the diagnosis is. I found out that though, if it seems that the world's philosophy is, if you can't control them, drug them. Now, there are some that may need that, but not the degree that it's happening. What they need is to be disciplined. And we need to understand that if God said it, it shall be done. He said the fruit of your womb is blessed. So guess how the fruit of your womb should act? Blessed. I mean, it's just that simple. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. All that matters is that it's going to happen because God said so. And I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I'm not looking for spiritual answers. I'm looking for honest answers because I just want to show you something. Since you've been a believer, have you ever been afraid? Okay. What were some of the things that caused you to be afraid? Storms. Okay. Anything else? the unknown, illnesses, natural disasters. Why were you afraid of those things? Because you don't have control over them. Those are all good answers. Thank you for your honesty. Turn Isaiah 54. And then we're going to go to Luke 10 because, there are many, many scriptures. But if we just grabbed hold of these two, it would power us through anything that comes. And I'm going to read them both in a few translations. I'm going to start with Isaiah 54. Because we have an Old Testament reference and a New Testament reference. But Isaiah 54, verse 17, the Bible in basic English. No instrument of war which is formed against you will be of any use. Every tongue which says evil against you will be judged false. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness comes from me, says who? The Lord. God's word translation says, no weapon that has been made to be used against you will succeed. No weapon. You will have an answer for anyone who accuses you. This is the inheritance of the Lord's servants. Their victory comes from me, declares the Lord. The Good News Bible says, but no weapon will be able to hurt you. You will have an answer for all who accuse you. I will defend my servants and give them victory. The Lord has spoken. And the Message Bible, this is the translation of this verse that I like the most. God said, I create the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also create the destroyer. But no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. No weapon that can hurt a believer has ever been made. That's what that verse is saying. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This, listen to what it says. This is what God's servants can expect. You have the right to expect that God comes to your defense, no matter what comes. And no matter where it comes from, if we got a hold of it, we wouldn't care about natural disasters. Are they a good and perfect gift? Are natural disasters a good and perfect gift? No. So guess who they didn't come from? So if it didn't come from God, where did they come from? Okay, so we have Luke 10. Message Bible, verse 19. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall. A bolt of lightning out of the sky. See what I've given you. Safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions and protection from every assault of the enemy. But no one can put a hand on you. All the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and his presence with you. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing. The Amplified says, behold, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. All the power. Whatever the enemy can bring, Jesus has given you authority over it. He said, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Nothing. And I'll just read verse 19 in the Passion Translation. It says, now you understand that I have imparted to you all. Jesus, listen to what he's saying in this translation. I've imparted to you all my authority. So the same authority that Jesus has, he gave, or I should say, all of the authority that Jesus had, he gave it to us to trample all over Satan's kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. Absolutely nothing. So if we grab hold of those, what is there to be afraid of? We would stick it out. But what happens is we get afraid and we stop. And we act like what Satan said shall be done. Well, if you don't believe what God said, you're right. But if it comes down to what God said versus what Satan said, and you choose to believe God, what God said in your life shall be done. It's that simple. And if once you grab hold of that understanding, grab hold of those principles, not only won't you be afraid, but you won't even consider bowing down to anything that the devil puts up. It won't even become desirous. Because you're no longer afraid, because you're no longer timid. And speaking of timid, 2 Timothy, not because he's timid, but 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, in the Amplified Bible, Timothy told us, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." If God said it, that's what he gave us, guess what? It shall be done. We have to stop asking the question that gets us in trouble. There's a one-word question that gets us in a lot of trouble when it comes to the things that God has said to us. When? We want to know when. Audrey said she believes she was healed. She was waiting for the manifestation, and that's the right thing to say. People say, I'm believing God for my healing. You are healed. What you're waiting for is the manifestation. Period. Some manifestations take longer than others. Why? I don't know. I'm not God. I'm Pastor Greg. Right. It was for such a time as this. And as I've shared with you before, I can give you the answer to when it will happen, because God already told us in Galatians, in due season, you shall reap. If you faint not. When is due season? In due season, you'll find out. Because there's only one thing that matters. God said so. And because he said so, it shall be done. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. It shall be done. What's the longest anyone has ever driven? 10 hours, 20 hours, 19 and a half. Okay. How many of you were driving and you said, you know what, this takes too long, and you just stopped? I'm going back home. It's 20 hours. I've been driving for 15 hours. When am I going to forget this? I'm going back home. How many of you're traveling and you come across some bumpy road and you say, oh, forget this. I'm not going over this road. And you stop and you go back because the road got bumpy. No, you keep going. And what happens? Eventually, you get there. Even if your car can't make it, you still find a way to get there. We'll put more faith in AAA than in GOD. But we get that we don't stop. So why are we putting different restrictions on God? okay, God, I want this. And let's see, today is the 9th. So let's see, you gotta get all your angels together and work out the plan and stuff. Okay, I want it to by tomorrow evening. Because your time frame's not our time frame. Day in law is like 1,000 years. God could say, that's right, so you're going to wait 1,000 years. I'll tell you another reason why we shouldn't be afraid and we should believe that what God said will happen. Back in Genesis, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So we're made in the image and likeness of the Godhead. Remember, he didn't say, let me. He said, let us. Okay. So we're made in the image and likeness of the Godhead. They ain't afraid of nothing. And they know what they say is going to happen. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And so they made man after their image and their likeness, and they gave man dominion. And guess what man did with it? Gave it away. God didn't panic. He said we were to have dominion and authority, period. So we gave it away. So he had another plan. For what? So that we can have dominion and authority, because he said it, and that's what's going to happen. Actually, that's what happened, because everybody in here is walking in the dominion and authority that God said we were going to have. We're walking in the authority over the devil that Jesus gave us right now. So what Adam did is irrelevant to where we are right now. It should have zero effect on us. All the mistakes that they made, we shouldn't make. Because first of all, we have their story to read. They didn't have Genesis 1 to read. They didn't have Genesis. They didn't know that it was the serpent. Well, actually, Adam did know. Because the scriptures say Adam was not deceived. I don't know why we blame the woman for being deceived. I'd blame the one that wasn't. If you're deceived, you don't know what's going on. So Eve didn't know what was going on, but Adam did. We have eyes. We can see what's going on. And we know what God said. And we have to have the mindset, since God said it, not if God said it, because we know he did. So since he said it, it shall be done. Period. Period. Too many Christians are afraid of stuff. We're afraid, well, I can't come to church on Sunday. I might lose my job. I have yet to have a doctor say to me, I'm going to give you an evil report. So I'm trying to figure out where that phrase came from. My doctor said, I have some results. My doctor said, I don't like these results, or I like these results. He never set me down and said, Pastor Carr, I have to give you an evil report. We say that. We say that. And you look at, okay, your cholesterol should be under 200. You see 199.5. I have an evil report about my cholesterol. What? The doctor will say to you, do an exam. I want you to go and get a scan. Do I have a lump? You see, I just want to get a scan and rule out some things. So you go and get a scan. They look at it and they said, well, be sure. Let's get an MRI. They think I have cancer. They didn't say that. By the way, it's February. Everybody should have had their physicals. I've had mine. I get the results next week. I already got the blood work, and my cholesterol is 202. I didn't fall out of the chair. I didn't. I'm like, I know what I've been eating. I was happy it wasn't 210. I mean, but if God said we're afraid that we won't be accepted by the world. God will try and send you to a church, a congregation. You don't, you're afraid you might not be accepted. They may worship differently than I'm used to. Worship is worship. And they shouldn't be looking at you anyway. And their focus should be on God. If they're looking at you, I need to have a conference with them. But fear is actually a byproduct. It's a byproduct of intimidation. Satan does things to intimidate because if he can intimidate you, you become fearful. And you get intimidated by the threat of violence. And you start looking at someone's reputation and you're saying, they've been known to do what they say. Well, so has God. We have to remember that. So has God. He told us something through Isaiah that, you know, that it just kind of got lost along the way when he said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter who likes you, doesn't like you, who cares, doesn't. None of that matters. All that matters is God said it. So whatever it was that he said to you, it shall be done. And you need to put a big, bold period there and not concern yourself about anything else. All that matters is what God said. Period. Pastor Clinton wrote a song, and he wrote that song. For me, it was at a time when I was brand new as a believer. I was months old as a believer. I was born again the end of October. I think it was October 24th. And November 5th, the company I was working for gave me my birth. First of all, at the end of October, they gave me a lateral promotion because they realized that their night operations were slack and my restaurants were doing so well. So they asked me if I would oversee the night operations. They said, we can't give you any increase in salary yet, you know, but we got approval, you know, to have this position, and you're the right guy for the job. And me, always been dedicated worker. I said, okay, that's fine. Is toward the end of October. November 5th is my birthday. They give you your birthday off. So on my birthday, I get a call from them, and I'm figuring it's a birthday call. Well, we decided we're phasing out that position. I said, okay. So where do I report tomorrow? You know, which area? Do I go back to my old area? They said, we phased out the position. I said, yeah, I understand that. That's why I miss where I go. Well, you were the supervisor of that position. Yeah. But when a position gets phased out, you get phased out with it. Happy birthday to me. And I said, I didn't call down heaven and earth and curses and, you know, I wanted to, but I was too afraid to. And so I just said, okay, now I'm unemployed. I don't know what to do. I went to church and I heard the praisers sing this song, You'll Take Care of Me. And I would be sitting, all I would do, I closed all the blinds except one, and I kept that one open because when you look through it, you just saw the sky. And I got on my knees in the dark, tears streaming down my face, saying, I have no doubt that you'll supply my needs. Those were verses from the song. And on your loving kindness I'm going to feed, and I will always offer praise to thee because I have assurance that you'll take care of me. And then I heard the song you promised me. So again, I'm tears streaming down my face, I'm like, you promised me. That's why I never fret. I kid you not. That's the way I was. Because I didn't know anything else. I couldn't do anything else. Couldn't make them give me my job back. Well, then Phyllis Gray, who's now Phyllis Carr, Deacon Phyllis Carr, she was working for a company, and her job was she'd have to go to supermarkets and arrange the things on the shelf. And it was, I think, American Home Foods. They did Chef Boyardee, beefaroni, and all that stuff that I'd never ate. But if someone dropped a can, the contents were good, but they couldn't sell the bent cans. So she took them off, and she was supposed to throw them away. She gave them for me. And so I come, and I start singing the song. I'm having beefaroni, beef and macaroni. And I was, thank you, Lord, for this food you provided. I didn't say, I don't eat no beefaroni. Spaghetti and meatballs. Out of a can? Are you kidding me? I was like, thank you for this food. Thank you for this food. I have no doubt that you will supply my need. You promised me. That's why I never fret. You promised me, and you never failed me yet. And a part of that song that I really love is when it goes, you can't go back on your word. Everything that you said has got to come true. Everything. So if we know that, and that's right. Sharon's having a praiser moment. But see, either you have the assurance, you believe the promise, or you don't. Whether you do or you don't, it's going to show up in your actions anyway. God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Now you just think about it. If God comes to you and God says, be strong and of good courage, what is that telling you? That something's coming. But you have to be strong and of good courage. Verse 70 says, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever you go. So God is saying, you're going to need courage. And that word strong means prove superior, exhibit strength. So God said, be strong, exhibit strength. Be strong because you're superior. Be strong and act like you're strong. Because he said, observe to do. That means not only do you see where God's made you strong, you see how to use it. You read the words. Okay, now how does that apply to this situation? And then you do it. You don't read the word and say, well, that doesn't apply to me. If it's the word, it applies. Period. Now, God didn't just say to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. He told them how to become strong and courageous. In verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So he's saying that when you put the word in you, the word will cause you to be strong and have great courage. Well, he told the same thing in the New Testament. Study to show yourself approved, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So again, in Old Testament, New Testament, he's saying, read the word. That's where your answers will be found. Meditating on the word day and night. Luke 1. It's not Christmas, but we can read this verse now. This is about Mary. The angel came to her. Is that the Amplified Bible? It says the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month with her who was barren. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. God told Abraham that he and Sarah would have a son. Abraham, well, Sarah didn't believe, and Abraham was probably wavering. So Sarah says, have a child with Hagar. You know, maybe God meant something different. Maybe he didn't mean me because I'm too old. I don't want to get on a sidetrack, but I always wondered about that story because I'm thinking, why Hagar? There were other women, and then why that one? It's like she must have caught him peeping at her. But that's just my theory. I try and think the way people would think. You know, I try and figure out reasons for things. But because they didn't trust that God would do what he said, we have this unrest in the Middle East today. Today. For what happened 5,000, 6,000 years ago? Because one man didn't listen to God. He said, yeah, but it was his wife's idea. I don't care. God told you. So at best, you go to God. You know what, God? My wife has an idea. Sounds pretty good to me. What do you think about this? You at least do that and wait for your answer. But you don't just take what God said and put it under the bus because it appears that it ain't happening. Sarah was 90 when she conceived. 90. Imagine a 90-year-old come up to your day and say, God told me I'm having a baby. You probably have we got to do a 72-hour hold because obviously she's not in her right mind. No, if God said it, have a bridal shower, a baby shower, get everything ready because it shall be done. Turn to Matthew 18, please. Because again, if you know it shall be done, you won't bow down. Jesus said again, verse 19, Jesus said again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. In John 15, verse 7, he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and what will happen. It shall be done unto you. And James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What shall be given him? The wisdom that you need. But like anything else, if you're going to receive from God, there are three things you have to do. You have to first believe what God said. You have to receive what God said. And then you have to act like you've believed and received what God said. That's it. I don't care what it is. Those three things apply. You have to believe it. You have to receive it. And you have to act like you believe it. And you have to act like you received it. Period. And if you do that, it shall be done. If you don't do it, it's going to be done anyway, but you're just going to miss it. Because you're off somewhere else. Because it's going to be done while you're doing what God told you to do. It's going to be done. Audrey was praising the Lord. And when you're praising the Lord, and then you realize, wait, my arms are up. We need to understand that. In Matthew 21, there's an it shall be done. We read it before about the fig tree. It said, if you say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And if you doubt not, it shall be done. He said, if you abide in me, my word abide in you, ask what you will, it shall be done. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. To who? To you. But one thing that happens to us is we're going along and we believe, but then when it takes too long, well, we've already talked about that. We believe, we make a bold statement, and then something gets worse. It gets worse. You make a bold statement of faith. I believe that my shoulder's healed in Jesus' name. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, it's not healing the way I thought it would. We're going to have to go back in. You're like, but I thought I was healed. What do you mean you thought? I just gave you the praise for this. Now they're telling me they have to go back in? Well, what did he say to you? He said, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you were healed. Did he say how? Yeah, with the stripes. Did Jesus take the stripes? Yes. So what are you? Healed. Who cares what it takes for the manifestation to come? When they told me my PSA is high, I made a declaration. Well, what's funny is I made a declaration by giving myself an infection. I'm saying, it's just an infection. It's no big deal. Antibiotics. Clean it right out. Doctor came back, said, no, we need to do a biopsy. Why? I prayed. Well, because I prayed, let them do the biopsy. So they did the biopsy, and I'm speaking the word in Jesus' name. This biopsy is going to come back negative. You know, prostate, I rebuke cancer. You know, if there are any cancer cells in there, I command you to die right now in Jesus' name. I get a call from my doctor. I'm so sorry. I'm like, who is this? This is doctor. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Sorry about what? What did you do? That's what I said. He said, no, your biopsy is positive. You have prostate cancer. Now, I didn't get up and run around and say, God, I declared, I believed, what's going on here? All this word stuff doesn't work. I said to him, okay. And he said, okay. I said, yeah, what's the plan? And he talked about surgery. I said, what are the other options? And he listed all the other options. And I hung up the phone, and fear tried to grip me. The reason fear tried to grip me is the day before he called, two celebrities were diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it was like fourth stage. It was metastasized. Their outlook wasn't good. While I was recovering, two people died from prostate cancer. A member of the church passed away from prostate cancer. And we'll tell them, you have the same thing they have. And I had to say, I don't know what they have, but I know what I have. And what I have is called healed. And I said, all right, God, what do you want to do about this? And I've told you, I'm not going to take time to go into the whole account. but basically I said to God, if you tell me to go to the Hudson River and eat 3 raw crabs, that's what I'm going to do. I did. And I talked to God the same way you see me is the way I am with my father. I said, I'll probably glow in the dark, but I'll eat the raw crabs. I mean, hey, they want to use radiation anyway, so. And then I let it go. And driving up here, when we had the 11 a.m. Bible studies on Saturday, I was getting off at exit 305. My thought was stop by Perkins and get a muffin and a coffee and motor on up here. As I'm getting off the exit, I was playing the album Righteous Now. And when God said to me, when are you going to ask me about this? I turned down the radio. I said, well, I guess now. What do you want me to do? He said, turn the radio back up. I turned the radio back up. And the song that was playing was, there's nothing that I need that he won't provide when I believe. I let that play through and I said, I got it. All I have to do is just keep believing I'm healed and you'll provide whatever I needed. Well, he provided a surgeon whose fee was normally $25,000 and said he would do it for, and he was the top, he was one of the top two surgeon, what they call the urological surgeon, urologist, yeah. But he was one of the top two in the country. And he said, I'll do it for whatever your insurance company pays or pays. There's nothing that I need that he won't provide. And when then the doctor said, wow, everything was inside the prostate, no leakage outside, you're going to be fine. You don't need anything else. And you're not going to have, you know, all those severe side effects that folks have had, that have had the procedure. But I wasn't expecting that because my confession was, I'm healed. My confession was, cancer cells die. Well, I guess they did die. I didn't know they had to be taken out first to die, but what difference? All that matters is that they ain't in me anymore. That's all that matters. That was about 13 years ago. Okay. But sometimes you'll say things and they appear to get worse. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made their declaration, we don't even have to think about this. The God we serve, he'll deliver us from your fire and anything else you might cook up. And the next thing that happens is the fire gets heated 7 times hotter. They didn't say, whoa, we didn't expect this. In Acts 27, I was reading about the Apostle Paul. And they were in the ship. And Paul tried to tell them, I don't think you need to leave. This weather is not looking good. But they didn't believe, first of all, he's a prisoner, and they're not going to believe a prisoner. They believed their people, and they took off. And in verse 20 of Acts 27, King James Version says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, which means it was such a thick storm, everything was dark. It was like dark 24/7. Neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, which means it wasn't a little storm. It says, all hope that we should be saved were then taken away. After a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. He says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. The important part I want you to understand is that God said, don't fear, you must be brought before Caesar. Well, he hadn't been brought before Caesar yet. They were still on the boat. Now, when he said that, some folks probably felt comfortable. I know Paul felt comfortable because he just received some inspiring word. They just received some inspiring words from Paul, from a great man of faith, who said that he got it from the God whom he served. And I'm sure Paul was cool, calm, and collected when he told him that. But the next thing that happened, that next morning, they find themselves shipwrecked. Boat crashes into the storm. They falling, and the guard's job was not to let any prisoners escape. So if the boat shipwrecks, the first thing they do is kill the prisoners. But Paul must be brought before Caesar. So one of the guards showed favor and said, "No, we're not. Don't kill anyone." And what I find interesting, the boat's smashed against the rocks and the waves are smashing against the boat. It's just ripping it to pieces. Everybody on board couldn't swim. That amazed me. You go to work on a ship and you can't swim. I thought my oldest son was nuts. He joined the Navy, couldn't swim. Didn't even like to get his face wet in the shower. So he joins the Navy. He can swim now. And he can take a shower. But it says in verse 40, the end of verse 43, they which could swim cast themselves into the sea to get the land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. So it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Some of them swam, and that was fine. Some couldn't swim, so God used fragments from the boat to save them. Fragments. Sometimes it looks like what you have is not enough. It's enough because God said so. It's enough because it shall be done. It can be a piece of wood this big in a sea that's smashing the boat to bits. This little piece, if that's all that's there to work with, that's all you need, you grab onto it. God said no lives would be lost. I'm a life. I'm a life, so this applies to me. God's speaking to me. So, again, Paul, he wasn't shaken by the storm because he had a word from God. And God said, you must be shipwrecked on an island. So what God said came to pass. So they're shipwrecked. They're on the island. Some rough-looking people came, the inhabitants of the island. They found out they were friendly, and they make a fire. Paul goes to put wood on the fire. A snake comes out of the fire and latches onto his hand. Now, God didn't tell him that he was going to be snake-bitten. He could have lost it right then and there. You got me through this storm so I get killed by a snake? No, he still hadn't stood before Caesar, and God said, you must stand before Caesar, so no matter what was going to happen, it wasn't going to take him out because he hadn't stood before Caesar. Why is that important? God said so. And if God said so, it shall be done. So what did Paul do? He sent the snake right back from where it came from. Came from the fires of hell. He sent it back into the fire. Told snake, go to hell. Passed. Okay. Go to AT double hockey sticks. Okay. Tell people that's not a bad word. It's a bad place. It's a bad place. Paul stayed calm because he had a word from God. He received it, he believed it, and he acted like he received it and he believed it. He didn't go kicking and screaming, begging and pleading, whining and crying. He didn't do any of that. God said it. That settled it. As far as Paul was concerned, it was done. And that's the way we need to be. If God said it, that should settle it. Believe it and receive it and act like you believe it and receive it because it's done. Does it ever feel like things come at you in waves? It's one thing, right? It's things that it just comes and comes and comes, and you're like, when am I going to get it? Look at Psalm 34. And then we're going to go to 2 Timothy 3. I'm almost done. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many, that first word should tell you. It says, it didn't say once in a while. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Any righteous people in the house? Many are your afflictions. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. It doesn't matter how many comes or how it comes, the Lord will deliver you out of them all. And I know that's Old Testament, so let's look at what the New Testament has to say. 2 Timothy 3, verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Real life, while he's trying to minister to the people. The Passion Translation. Yes, I know about all. Yes, you know all about what I had to suffer while in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You're aware of all the persecution I endured. Yet, I endured there. Yet, the Lord delivered me from every single one of them. Every single one. So are you going to face stuff? Yes. Are you going to be delivered from them? Every single one. When? In due season. In due season. Listen, in order to be delivered, you have to be in stuff. How many of you want to be delivered from a good life? No, you need to be delivered when something is wrong, when something's going awry. Matthew 18, I think I'm going to close with this. This is when Jesus said to his disciples, you know, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say you're the Christ, you know, you're Isaiah, one of the prophets, Elijah, one of the prophets. And then he asked them what I figure is the only question that really matters. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 17, Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So God told him that the very gates of hell will not prevail against him because he's the church. He said, it shall not overpower us or be strong to our detriment or hold out against us. It shall, whatever that comes that's not of God will not stand. If you understand that what God said shall be done. Jesus said the thief comes but for the steal, kill, and destroy, and we get stuck on that. Yeah, the Bible said that Satan's going to come and kill, steal, and destroy. That's not what the Bible said. He comes but for. He comes with the reason. He comes with the expectation that he's going to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come so that you may have life and have life more abundantly. So yeah, a thief may come And the thief's intention is not to come and bring you gifts. His intention is to come and take something of value away from you, to make your life miserable. That's why the thief comes. Whether or not he can accomplish it depends on how you have reinforced your home. If he comes and he sees the sign, you got ADT, as the commercials say, he'll drop his flashlight and run away to another house that doesn't have that sign on the front door. But think about it. When a destroyer came to kill the firstborn, every house that had the blood on the doorposts and lintels, it had to pass over. The intention was to kill all the firstborn. That was the intention. But there's some that God said will have life and will have life more abundantly. They were covered by the blood. We're covered by the blood. So we can have life more abundantly. When a thief comes and he sees the blood, he sees that there are strong believers who know who they are, who are not moved by the racket that you're making as you're coming and your attempts to intimidate. He can't kill, he can't steal, he can't destroy from you, because you have a word from God. And because you have a word from God, it shall be done. Let's stand on your feet.